Chapter 21.
Don't!
Someone yelled in the darkness, and the sound was followed by a loud animalistic growl.
You thought you could sneak up on me and steal my silver, did you?
The other voice roared.
No! I promise! Oh!
I ran faster when I heard the distinct sound of a body being thrown against the deck, hard.
You will not win this time, Cavo!
I rounded a large tower of crates, in time to see Regent Siskorn lifting a scrawny figure up by the throat, as if he was going to toss the person overboard.
Wait!
The figure croaked out. And before I had a chance to do anything myself, there was a flash of gold, followed by a metallic click, and suddenly the Dino Man was arching back in a spray of blood.
Gah!
He roared and fell back with his hand over his bloody eye. The figure flopped over on his back and gasped like a fish as he tried to massage his crushed throat, and I was finally able to make out his face under the light of the full moon.
Rylan!
I shouted, and ran toward him just as Siskorn found his footing.
Move! Vengeance is mine!
The Regent Lord bellowed at me to get out of the way, but I raised my hand.
My lord, wait!
I tried as I crouched between the still gasping stable boy and the enraged reptile man.
What is going on?
Captain Nemus yelled. And behind him, several of the crew were armed with cutlasses.
Meep!
The sound of Gelf's high-pitched squeak heralded from the end opposite the direction Nemus was charging. Behind her was another cavalry consisting of Horus, the Mech Sisters, and both my wives. If something didn't happen, the two opposing sides would collide like two trains on the same track.
Everybody stop!
I screamed and flung my hands out in hopes of stalling both encroaching war parties as well as the Regent Lord, who was still bleeding and hell-bent on tossing my stowaway son into the arms of the ocean. Tick. Click. Just when I thought this powder keg was set to go from bad to worse, two things happened. My heartbeat slowed, but before I could enter the time trance, the signet ring Gavlane gave me clicked as if I'd armed it, even though I hadn't. Not even close. Regardless, things still slowed down, but not in the usual enter-the-matrix way. Instead, everyone came to a grinding halt of their own volition, as if my voice alone was what pulled on the reins. My voice. Gavlane's inherited power was his compelling voice, and he'd said his signet was enchanted to protect me. There was no way that was a coincidence. But I pushed it to the back burner to deal with later because I had two mobs staring at me with their various weapons raised.
What is the meaning of this foolery on my ship?
Captain Nemus transformed from his usual easygoing brand of crazy to commanding and authoritative at the drop of a hat.
Intruder!
Siskorn yelled, and I pulled Rylan up and backed us both away from the Dino Man who was still frothing at the mouth.
Assassin!
He's neither, I roared above the Regent Lord's hysterics.
He has maimed me,
he wailed, as his brother held him back by the shoulders. He was defending himself, I shouted again, and blocked the Dino Man's one-eyed sight from getting a lock on my terrified son.
He's just a kid who's in a shit ton of trouble, but a kid nonetheless. You said that as a child,
Siskorn squinted through his ruined eye.
Yeah, my child, who apparently decided to stow away on this ship.
At this, I turned around and glared at my errant kid. I was angry with him, but I held my hand out gently for him to grab and brought him forward so everyone could see the extended dagger jutting up from the signet on his right finger. Look, it has the seal of Brightwood. I then twisted the base of the small dagger, and the blade magically retracted only to be replaced with the embossed seal on the face.
This is your child?
The Regent Lord asked again, and stopped trying to struggle out of the ambassador's grip. His name is Rylan, and he's very sorry, I said, and tucked his still trembling frame under my arm.
I,
he croaked, and I winced at how sore and crushed his throat sounded, so I gripped his shoulder to make him stop. He's sorry, trust me, I said.
But you are a traveler,
the Dino Man pointed out, as his composure returned to him even though his bleeding eye had to hurt.
I was led to believe you haven't even been here a farthing. How can he be yours?
I'm adopted,
Rylan wheezed out. Shh, I hushed him. But he's right. He's my son now because there is nobody else.
I've heard of other islanders undertaking the practice of accepting brood that are not their own out of a misguided empathy, the Dino Man said.
And finally it seemed as if everything was back to normal.
The reality usually proves there are more disadvantages than advantages to taking on more mouths to feed. But I can see why you picked him. It is not every day I am caused to bleed.
That sounded like the opposite of what I would be if I had my eye nearly cut out, which would be pissed as fuck. Instead, the Dino Man seemed oddly honored by the wound he received.
Yes, well, I'm glad no one is getting chucked off my ship,
Nemus interjected, and leaned on the handle of his cutlass.
But the matter is, kid or not, someone stowed away on my ship, not just one someone, but two someones if you count your flying friend.
Meep,
Gelf defended and shrunk herself down to her weasel-like size so she could run up and curl herself around Rylan's neck. Very true, I said, and watched as he bowed his head to look shamefully at his shoes.
I'm sorry,
the kid croaked, and I saw the captain's stern facade break at the painful-sounding apology.
You have to understand, laddie,
the raccoon man said, and came forward so he could place a kind hand on the kid's shoulder.
The regent made a similar point. Feeding extra mouths when you aren't planning on it does not come without a cost. And when you must live life at sea, everything must be accounted for. Stowaways disrupt that fine balance.
I don't have to eat,
Rylan said. But he was cut off by an obnoxious, phlegmy sound from the zany captain.
Complete and utter whack. Try again,
he said sharply and narrowed his ringed eyes. Maybe he can earn his keep on your vessel, Captain, I suggested, as I picked up on where the fair raccoon man was taking this little detour to life lesson land.
I can, whatever you need,
Rylan said as his voice cracked and soared.
What I need is for you to rest your voice,
Shay butted through the crowd with a small leather fanny pack thing tied around her waist. She rummaged around inside it, and when she pulled out a roll of bandages and a few glass vials, I understood the purpose of the kit. Zoe was hot on her heels with a clean, damp cloth, and I realized my wives must have both jumped into action when they saw the blood.
Here, my lord,
the catwoman said to the one-eyed dino man, and he placed the compress over his bloody eye.
Drink this. No arguing and no pulling faces,
the businesslike phoenix woman said as she handed Rylan a vial of something that looked like pond sludge, and based on his watering eyes, probably tasted like it too.
Miss,
he whispered, when he handed back the empty vial.
Hush,
Shay said, and examined Rye's bruised throat. When she was satisfied he would heed her orders, she then turned to face the captain.
Nemus, I apologize for my son's behavior, and I'm sure he will prove a worthy sea hand. Right, Riley?
Son?
He blinked his wide eyes at the way the Phoenix woman used the moniker for the first time with him.
Rylan,
she admonished.
Right, yes, I will earn my keep, sir,
he muttered. Good, Captain Nemus said gravely, but he followed it up with a pat on the head.
Crew, fall out!
The band of sea hands stowed their weapons and resumed their shipboard duties. Regent Siskhorn, I'm very sorry about your eye, I added, as my red-headed wife then turned her first aid skills onto the Dino Man.
Do not be, Siskhorn said with the barest hint of a smile. Tonight, when I sleep, I will fall into a healing trance. I only hope a scar from such a worthy opponent remains.
Your eye, will it be okay?
Rylan asked, and his face was pale as he peeked up at the Dino Man.
It will indeed, Siskhorn rumbled in his deep voice. For a Terran, scars, when they manage to remain, are a warrior's badge of honor. Since you are not a Brightwood by blood, please tell me who I have to thank so I might name the scar after you.
Before I was adopted, sir, I went by the name Dahl,
my son said as he held his sore throat.
Rylan Dahl.
Dahl, he said,
and he went to ask him something else when his naturally slate-colored skin paled to an ashy gray.
Dahl! Come, brother, we should get you some rest,
Siskern interrupted over the suddenly delirious Regent Lord.
Ambassador, may I?
Amaya said. But instead of waiting for an answer, the Oryx woman rocked up on the balls of her bare feet and cupped Siskorn's cheek.
What is the meaning of...
The regent's eyes suddenly rolled into the back of the man's head, and if it weren't for Siskern there to catch him, he would have collapsed onto the floor in an unconscious heap.
Thank you, Olga,
the lizard man said, as he hefted his much larger brother over his shoulder in a fireman's carry as if it were nothing.
I shall attend to him, and all will be well tomorrow.
Did you need anything, Siskern? I asked.
No, no, he said, hesitated,
and then glanced at me over his free shoulder.
Although it might be best if your boy steers clear of Siskorn tomorrow, if possible, just until he is no longer afflicted.
That can be arranged, I said, and shot my son a look. Do you have time to talk later, Ambassador?
I was hoping to ask you the same thing, Siskern said. I find the bow of the craft good for meditating under the stars. Would you care to join me at dawn?
Yes, I'll find you, I promised. And as the Terrans retired, I sighed and pinched the bridge of my nose so I could give my whirring brain a moment or two to process.
Dad,
Rylan rasped out.
I'm so...
Rye, I need you to go back to our quarters with Zoe and Shay now. I turned away from him and spied a mop and a bucket.
But...
he stammered. Rylan, now, I said sternly, and plunged the mop into the sudsy water.
But what are you going to do? Aren't you coming?
His voice shook, but I could tell he held his tears back, and I felt proud of his bravery, even though I was so disappointed I couldn't even look at him yet. No, Rylan, I sighed, and began swabbing away some of the Regent Lord's blood trail. I have to stay behind and finish cleaning up your mess. So I need you to go with Shay and Zoe so I don't yell at you and say something I regret. Now go. I continued swabbing until I heard Zoe murmur to the kid and coax him back to our quarters. And I didn't look up until Shay cupped my cheek and forced me to look into her emerald green eyes.
Alex,
she said, and stilled the mop with her other hand.
Dear heart.
Sorry. I stopped what I was doing. I can't believe that kid.
Alex?
Amaya echoed, and I glanced over just in time to see her eyes fade from a striking silver back to their normal dove gray.
There is something not right with Regent Siskorn.
You're telling me, I snorted, and rubbed my aching eyes again. But what's your take?
He is afraid of an assassin of some sort,
the Oryx woman said, as she pressed her fingers into the center of her brow.
Ogre predicted he would be marked by the legacy of his mortal foe before his demise. But I don't know what that has to do with his hostility toward Rylan, and it doesn't explain the intense fear I felt from him before he fell asleep.
There is something tainting him magically as well,
Anwar said.
Horace and I can try to search the cargo area in case he has an artifact.
Would you mind? I asked with a weary slump of my shoulders. And I breathed out a sigh while Shay rubbed at the tense knot that had developed at the base of my neck. I think I'm spent from all the madness.
One more thing. Can you ask Rylan for a signet ring when you get a chance?
Amaya asked as she eyed the rigging above her like she wanted to climb it.
I want to see if there's something I can understand from the blood that soaked the blade. Sometimes something comes through, especially if I augur when the sun is at its peak.
Yeah, I'll get it from him and bring it to you tomorrow, I said.
Good,
she said, and gripped the ropes leading up to the crow's nest on the main mast of the ship.
You can find me there at mid-epoch.
Then she set her sights on climbing up to the lookout post, and I couldn't help but huff a laugh.
Horace, you and Anwar, please be careful,
Shay implored.
I don't like the idea of there being something dangerous on my ship. Nemus was telling me something has the crew on edge. I don't know what it is, and neither does he, because sailors are always so superstitious. But keep your eyes and ears open, and don't mess with anything if you are even one shade uncertain about your ability to dismantle the threat.
Yes, m'lady, Horace said with a hand vehemently clasped over his sternum.
I'm serious, Russ,
she said, and thrust a finger into the Falcon Man's face.
I have kept silent about it for all these seasons, but don't think I won't tell about your 12...
That's a Shaley!
he squawked and gripped her hand between his. I promise, I promise. No need to trot out that old dusty anecdote.
Horace,
she warned. I really do promise, he said, and hugged her from the side. Take your husband back and sit on him if you have to in order to get him to sleep. Hey, I protested. Don't give me that. Those circles under your eyes are darker than Breya's night, he teased as he patted me on the back. Rest up, Chief. We've got it from here. Thanks, you two, I said, and I let Shay lead me back to our quarters at a sedate pace, because it felt as if my feet were walking through sand. I'm sorry about Rylan. I hope his foolishness hasn't cost you your friendship with Nemus.
Don't apologize. He's mine, too,
she giggled.
Goddess, I can't believe the audacity. What was going through his head?
He really is something, isn't he? I commented, and slowed our pace so I could admire her under the light of the moon. You kind of made his day, even though he knows his ass is totally toast.
How do you mean?
She asked. Well, you referred to him as your son, I reminded her.
Oh, maybe it really was the first time I've done so aloud.
The Phoenix Woman mused and swung our laced hands back and forth as we rounded the quarterdeck.
I've been thinking of him as such for a lot longer. If I knew how much it meant to him, I would have called him my son before now, and in a context where I wasn't scolding him.
Quick thinking with the first aid kit, I said, and nudged her fanny pack.
Madam Midgeon was giving me a few lessons on how to help heal people, and not just animals,
she said, and tucked a strand of her crimson hair behind her ear.
I want to be prepared, especially if I can't summon my healing powers again.
I slowed our casual walk so I could face my wife. She didn't really say much these days about her admittedly major transformation into some divine incarnate none of us knew anything about, and Zoe and I were hesitant to push her to talk about it, because that was some bona fide big stuff I had no idea how to relate to. Which sucked because I could see how it isolated this tender creature and dimmed a little of her radiance. Ever since the incident with Vane, there were times when Shay would be pensive and stare off into the middle distance as if she was working through something in her head. I just knew if I was patient enough, she would eventually find the words. How are you feeling? I decided to ask, because that was what I always asked her, and I figured it was neutral enough to encourage her to keep talking. You were quite tired earlier.
I was, yes,
she murmured, and then resumed our walking like it helped her to process her thoughts better if she was moving.
My dreams have been confusing lately. I don't know what they mean, but they feel less like dreams and more like memories.
Do you think because you're the incarnate, you are remembering your past selves? I ventured.
It's insane, isn't it?
She giggled.
But I find myself relieved to hear someone actually say it aloud. Am I crazy?
No, babe, I'd tell you, I said, and tucked her smaller frame into the hollow of my arm, as if she was carved and crafted to my specifications, or vice versa.
Oh, good.
She laughed her smoky laugh once more and wrapped her arm around the back of my waist. Anything you want to talk about? I questioned one more time. I can have some pretty intense dreams, too.
I don't remember much when I wake up,
she said,
but I find myself not wanting to wake more often than not, as if I do not want to leave my dreams because they're pleasant.
Well, that's good at least, I said, and rubbed my arm up and down hers to keep her from feeling the chill of the breeze. She sighed one more time like a dove, and we spent the rest of the walk back to our quarters enjoying each other amidst the noise of the sea and the stalwart ship. When we entered the small suite, we caught Rylan and Zoe in the middle of setting up a sleeping cot at the foot of the bed we all shared.
Dad, hi,
Rylan mumbled and busied himself with stuffing a pillow into a fresh pillowcase. Instead of responding, I breathed out through my nose and sat on the bed so I could take off my boots. I didn't mean to make the atmosphere tense, but I was still too disappointed to really say anything. Be ready to work early tomorrow, all right? I said, when we were all finally dressed down, and the stable boy was curled up on his cot in a miserable lump.
Okay,
he sighed and pulled the blanket higher. Oh, and I'll need you to give me your ring, I added. Rylan seized up under the covers, but after some movement he poked his fist out of the bedding and rigidly held out his arm. I cupped my palm under his hand and felt the weight of his ring fall into my hand. I expected him to question me what I needed it for, but he didn't say anything more than a murmured good night to no one in particular before he flopped over with his back to us.
Come, husband.
Zoe purred as she and Shay turned down the bedding of our own sleeping arrangement, and I fell into the embrace of slumber faster than I remember closing my eyes. As I slept, my dreams were of the torturous kind that meant I'd been neglecting my meditation. I felt as if I was being dragged through a forest of visions by my ankles, and I couldn't prevent the chaotic images from battering me in the face like sharp tree branches. Every time I tried to focus or tried to get the dizzying carousel to slow down, I was assaulted with a barrage of images so vibrant it felt as if my eyes actually hurt, even though I knew I was sleeping. Around and around I went, no matter if I wanted to wake up or not, and the up and down of the ocean waves I could still feel, even while unconscious, was not helping matters. For a brief, horrifying moment, I feared I would be trapped in this semi-lucid hell, and already I wondered how much time had passed, because it felt like eons and seconds simultaneously. I thought it would never end. Until an urgent banging snapped me out of my strange purgatory and into the dawn of another day, and I opened my eyes with a gasp.